you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 165 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host once again. And today my guests are Megan Xavier and Aaron Gerstensang. Now, one of those names may be familiar to you, as Aaron was on the show a few weeks ago. Megan is new to us. And I asked the two of them to come on program today to talk about the presentation that they gave at the ABA Tech show this past February that I heard was fabulous. I didn't get to attend it, but I heard it was great. And it's on the subject of the care and feeding of social media platforms by attorneys. And this is an area that a lot of attorneys have questions over or concerns about or just angst about the whole idea of using social media as a way of promoting and their law firm and engaging with their potential client database. And these two really smart women are some of the best at using those platforms. So I wanted to have them on the show, and we have this really good conversation about how to use Facebook and Twitter, Pinterest and YouTube and all of those things. And I hope that you enjoy the conversation as much as I did having it with them. So without any further delay, here are Megan Xavier and Aaron Gerstensang. Megan Xavier and Aaron Gerstensang, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you for having us.
We're so excited to be here.
And for some of our listeners, if one of those names sounds familiar, of course, Aaron was on the show a few weeks ago, and we're delighted to have you back as a returning champion here, Aaron.
Thanks for inviting me back.
So, I was unable to attend your presentation at this past year's ABA Tech World back in Chicago in February. But a number of people that I talked to said, "Oh, did you hear Megan and Aaron's presentation?" I said, "No, I was off doing something else." They said, "Well, you got to talk to them. Got to bring them on the show. It was fantastic." So I thought we'd talk about what you talked about, which is basically social media and how attorneys can use that. Now, I'm all over social media, independent of being an attorney. It's just, I love it. But I recognize that a lot of attorneys have a problem with it or have concerns about using social media. What are your views on the use of social media in a law firm? Megan, we'll start with you.
Well, our presentation was care and feeding of social media. Like that was the headline of our talk. And I think it kind of goes to the heart of your question. Lawyers should be on social media and they should be paying attention to it, caring and feeding their social media presence. And I say that as someone who came to social media, I guess, kind of late. I mean, I feel like I've been on it forever now, but I had to be shoved onto Facebook. I wasn't running a solo practice at the time. But, everyone's on Facebook, I kept hearing. And I can't keep in touch with you by email. It's so much easier if you'd get on Facebook. And I was like, oh, come on. I hate this whole idea of social media. And over time, I've evolved and I'm now quite active, especially on Twitter, not really on Facebook. But on Twitter is kind of where I live on social media. And so coming to it with a hesitancy and not really liking to share that much about myself and be out there a whole lot, I relate to the lawyers who don't think that they should be on social media or aren't comfortable there, don't want to spend time there. But the fact is that our clients are there, our colleagues are there, And a ton of networking can be done online in social media circles. Certainly Twitter for me is where I meet and cultivate the relationships with so many of my colleagues who, you know, feed me professionally in terms of helping me develop and grow and also become referral sources. Clients will find me there. I can share content there. And so I think that it should not be avoided. But the flip side of that is that you got to pay attention to what you're doing. It's easy to go wrong. And this is one of the reasons why Aaron and I are able to speak so much to attorney groups on social media. It's a topic at just about every single legal conference. You know, whether it's a family law specific conference in a specific state or a national platform like ABA Tech Show, there's this desire to learn more because there are a lot of ways we can go wrong. So get on there, but educate yourself as to what you can and can't do and appropriate use of social media. Because if you don't do it right, you know, if you're not using it in an appropriate manner, you'll first of all drive away any benefit you would have gotten because you become that person that nobody wants to follow or interact with. If you're just doing it in a smarmy way, the salesy kind of way, or if you're going really wrong and doing things like revealing client confidences, then you have ethical violations that definitely undermine any benefit you might have gotten from social media.
Yeah, and we'll get into some of that in a little bit. I mean, one of the things that I've always said about social media is that I think the label social media does a disservice to the platforms that we think of, you know, in terms of social media. If we just think of these platforms as the modern way of communicating, I think it serves our purposes a lot better. Because, you know, back in the day, we advertised in the phone book. We advertised on billboards. We used the telephone to connect with people when we actually wrote letters. And a lot of that is still done today, but the world's moved on. The world's gotten much faster and much more immediate. And these platforms are the way individuals communicate with individuals and businesses communicate with the potential clients. And if you're ignoring these platforms, you're just stuck in the past. And those who aren't ignoring them are the ones who are going to benefit, and you'll be at a, you know, competitive disadvantage at the very least. So Aaron, just so we can put our arms around it a little bit. You know, what are the social media, again, I'm going to use that term for lack of a better one. What are the social media platforms that you think are important for attorneys today?
Sure. I think that that's a good question. And it depends on where you are on your journey. If you're just starting out, you want to start with the bare minimum. And if you're very comfortable on those platforms, I think there's really exciting new places to be. So if you're just starting out, I think I think the places you need to be and have a professional presence are LinkedIn, Facebook, and, you know, you want to consider either Twitter or Instagram. And that's maybe depends on your practice area or where you're the most comfortable. If you're a brand new novice and you're not on any of these platforms, while I would encourage you to create a profile at all of those spaces, you want to just pick one to start getting comfortable with and start posting regularly. So I do think that that's where you want to establish that presence. I also think that there's real value in being where you're rare. So if you're on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, it's already pretty saturated, and LinkedIn with lawyers. So I actually got to speak with a lawyer who at this family law conference Megan and I were just at. And she's on TikTok, which is, you know, a really fun social platform that not many people are there. And it is a great place, if you're comfortable in that space, in that arena, it's a great place to get ahead. You know, Gary Vee, who's well-known in a lot of circles, he is famous and well-known and successful for a number of reasons. But one of those reasons is he was the first to be on YouTube and just started producing content. And being first and being rare is very valuable. So although that's not going to be for every lawyer, no matter where you are in the spectrum, where you are on your social media journey, if you are comfortable on social, there's always new sort of frontiers to be conquering. So I would definitely encourage, and I encourage that lawyer, embrace, lean into TikTok, be there, because that's where the people are, and you get the most value at being where you're rare. So you do need to start somewhere. So start wherever, even if you're not rare. Start at those basic sort of foundational social media channels and then find your natural habitat. Find which channel works the best for you and where you enjoy to be, and then, you know, invest your time there. Because, you know, if it's just perfunctory and it just is boring to you, it's probably likely that it's going to be boring content that you're posting, and you're not as going to be successful as you would be in a channel that you like.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer, particularly for attorneys, that YouTube is the next frontier. And it might have already been, you know, breached by a lot of attorneys, but I think that's the growth platform from my perspective, because there's so much you can do. It's kind of like where podcasts were, you know, 5 years ago. I think now YouTube, as an attorney, you can be legal content, you can be marketing, you can be, you know, just kind of over the back fence, conversational. You can have a fun show, and you can really do some amazing things on YouTube. So I expect to see a lot of growth there. What are your views on Pinterest as a platform?
So I
was actually thinking the same thing.
So I'm on Pinterest, and I have a presence there. I don't love that's just a social channel that I don't love to be in. So while I have a presence there, I have not seen, you know, I think I signed up in 2015 for my law firm. I have not spent the time that I should there, but a lawyer who does incredible work there is Christina Scalera, and she runs the contract shop, and she just dominates. And that was a place where she really took off, and she just dominates Instagram or Pinterest, and she was there when it was still rare for attorneys. So I think if that's a platform, a medium that you love to be in, then make it work for your law firm, because it's valuable.
My guess is that might have something to do with the practice area that
one's
involved in. You know, if you're, and Aaron, I know you're a criminal defense attorney. Yeah, you know, Pinterest might not be where your clients are spending their time, but Megan, if I understand it correctly, you're family law.
No, I represent other lawyers.
Oh, okay. My ignorance, my apologies. But a family lawyer or somebody that works with families in whatever capacity. Because moms and a lot of dads, they're all on Pinterest. That's where they're talking. That's where they're sharing their lives. And it seems to me, if that's your niche, that could be your platform.
Yeah, and I was going to mention Christina Scalera as well. As when Aaron was talking and saying, go away, you're rare, that was one of the first things with her. So she represents creatives. She does like wedding photographers and works with vendors in the creative space. So she got on Pinterest because that's where her clientele live.
Right.
And you know, when she was originally talking about this, it's now, you know, time flies. This was actually a few years ago. I feel like I just met her and just learned about this, but it really was actually a little while back. And she was going on podcasts and talking about this and writing articles, and it made everyone's eyebrows go up. You know, like, wait, a lawyer on Pinterest?
Yeah.
Exactly what Aaron said, going where you're rare. She was one of the only ones out there. And of course, the client base is there talking about the very things that she can help with. You know, oh, I just got screwed over by this this client at a wedding. I can't believe I didn't get paid. You know, how can I make sure this doesn't happen again? Well, they're talking to each other, but a lawyer wasn't there. And then she jumped in and really, as Aaron said, dominates that space. So I think that Pinterest is one that if your clients are there or otherwise speaks to you and you want to be there, then it's definitely a platform worth considering. Because if you don't enjoy it, I think Aaron made a really great point about this, you're not going to be in there engaging. Like, that's how I feel about Facebook. I really don't like Facebook. And so I have a business page. The content I put out elsewhere also gets posted to Facebook. But I have a timer set on my browser to keep me off of Facebook because I really don't like it. I get sucked in. But Twitter, I love. So I'm going to spend time there by choice. So if you love Pinterest, definitely consider it.
And that's a good point, Megan. I think something that attorneys overlook, I think the lines between professional and personal are blending and have fully blended. And so one thing I encourage lawyers to do, even if you're not advertising, even if you don't think of your Facebook activity and engagement as advertising, there are certain people who have personalities that are just so successful in certain channels. Like I have a friend who's on Facebook and they've got a million friends and he posts something about a watch that he's going to buy, which is crazy in 2019 because, you know, watches are a thing of the past anyway. But within a half hour, he has 100 comments, right? So in terms of that's somebody who has a lot of power and a lot of, if he uses his channel intentionally, he is top of mind and you can do it in a social way, but also sprinkle in some fun, engaging stuff about your work. And that is a great use of social media. So if you already have this following in your personal life, it doesn't take much to make sure, you know, you have just enough without beating people over the head of what your practice area is, that they will see your posts and engage with your posts every day. That is far more effective than hiring, you know, a social media team to help you in an arena to try to build followers who don't know you. So I think that for lawyers too, we want to think about that personal way that we engage our community on our personal feeds, as well as, you know, what we like to distinguish between them and our professional, but that distinction is increasingly meaningless.
Today, I'd like to introduce a new sponsor to The Law Entrepreneur, and that's the folks at Jurisdiction. You started your law practice to ditch the firm life and be your own boss, but your practice is running you. The good news, being an attorney entrepreneur doesn't have to be this hard. Jesse and Megan, the lawpreneurs behind Jurisdiction, are working to build a new generation of solo practitioners who love being lawyers. This year, Jurisdiction is introducing a new program, Next Level Law Practice. Next Level Law Practice is a rigorous training program that provides the tools and business fundamentals for estate planning attorneys to start and grow a profitable and streamlined legal business. Next Level Law Practice gives you access to videos, worksheets, templates, one-on-one coaching, and live group sessions that allow you to ask questions and learn on your own schedule. To learn more about the program, visit thrivejd.com. That's thrivejd.com. They're even offering an exclusive coupon code for the Law Entrepreneur listeners. Just enter the code TLE150. That's like the Law Entrepreneur 150 for a $150 discount off your course registration. And welcome to the show, Jurisdiction. This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight, the Mac CRM and case management tool I've been using for years to run my practice. If you want to take your practice further, you need to try Daylight. Daylight keeps track of every case detail and reminds you when you need to follow up so you can focus on what matters most. To be honest with you, I can't imagine running my practice without Daylight. So say hello to a stress-free workflow and visit marketcircle.com to try Daylight now. Remember to mention that you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount off your first monthly subscription.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely true there. That division is getting blurred to the point where it's almost non-existent these days. I mean, when I first started on Facebook, we said you have a business page and have your personal page and never the two shall meet. And I largely conformed to that dichotomy, except, you know, my personal page was a lot more local. It was really to the people who are more likely to be potential clients or no potential clients. And I started recognizing, well, I'm posting a business post on my professional page, but that's not reaching really the clients I really want to reach, which are over on my personal page. But I don't want to beat them over the head every day, as you said, with, you know, something about my business. So I use it judiciously. When there's something that I think has broad appeal, I might post on my personal page and with the caveat, hey, listen, I don't share my business information here too much, but I think this is important. Maybe hop on over to my blog and read this blog post or take a look at this video. And I think that happens more and more for different people. Some people completely obliterate that distinction and just treat both as their platform. And I suggest it's really what works for you.
Right. And I think that brings up a good point, Neil, is that we think of advertising as the same, you know, you mentioned this in the beginning, of the same as sort of billboards were and television ads were in the past. But those are far different mediums. So if you're treating your social feed as if it is a billboard, well, it's going to be boring and very ineffective, and you're not going to get a lot of engagement. And so I think what I see the most creative lawyers doing is talking about their work in a very, not at all like a billboard, but talking about their work in an engaging way that, you know, you want to always think about the messaging that you're putting out there. You want to make it easy to like. You know, so sometimes people will post a good review that they got or, you know, exciting moment. But you want to, I feel like what lawyers struggle with is being too on the nose. So they're told, hey, I need to advertise my practice. Here I am standing in court wearing a suit looking just like we all know lawyers do.
Right.
So that's not interesting or engaging, just like seeing a picture of a doctor in a hospital in their white lab coat, you know, standing there doing the doctor thing, holding a clipboard is not really interesting either. So the key, and I think that the people who do this most successfully, are people who are able to talk about their work in an interesting, creative, not necessarily on-the-nose kind of way. So sometimes we'll see lawyers engaging with, I have a lot of criminal defense attorneys, we're in court all the time. And so some of my colleagues will post on their Instagram feed, like these awesome small towns in Georgia where they go and grab lunch. And it's just like a fun way to engage with, oh, there they are. They're showing that they're in court. They're doing the thing. They're reminding their people who watch their channel of the kind of work they do and how much they love it. But in a sort of, you know, this one-off kind of way where we're seeing these small town places go by, downtown, you know, squares in Georgia. So I think that that's always, I'm always looking for different ways to sort of talk about your work without actually talking about, here I am in court arguing a motion, just like we all know I would do.
That's one of the ways to address it. And, you know, Megan, as I go around virtually the country and to some extent the world on this podcast, you know, when we talk about social media, you know, some of the immediate feedback I get from attorneys is, what am I going to do? Post what I had for lunch every day? You know, with Aaron's comment withstanding, you know, if you're just getting started here or you want to pay more, you have the platforms, but you've not been paying attention to them. You know, what do you do to get started, to be engaging and to be personal and to be authentic? What steps should I take?
Well, I think the first thing is, once you've picked your platform and create your profile, is start to follow other lawyers who have an engaging presence and you can kind of learn from. If you go on the ABA website, they actually publish an article every year that's like Twitter profiles to follow. And you can kind of get a sense of what people are doing that are interesting and engaging, especially, you know, we get socially awkward at a cocktail party. We're just as socially awkward online. And so you can kind of tell the people who haven't posted before, trying and testing the waters. Well, when you have those really awkward posts, those first few, don't worry, because nobody's really paying attention. That's maybe one of the things to keep in mind. But follow people, you know, immediately coming to mind is Jordan Couch, who is a workers' comp lawyer in Washington State with Palace Law. And he's always on Twitter. He's been on that ABA list. He's written articles about how he got his first job through Twitter connections. Kind of a master of using it to his advantage. And if you follow people like him and see what they're doing, you can kind of feel a little loosened up about what you can put out there. Because you'll see things like wins, you know, big wins at work will get posted out there. I argued a motion all the way up to the Supreme Court, and this is what happened in this case, or one big thing for a client, it feels so good. Okay, super direct about your work. But then you'll see other things, commenting on another lawyer's win, or another lawyer's post, or talking about volunteer work. You know, went to a general session of the Board of Trustees of the bar today, super interesting topics discussed, like, oh, you're active in the legal community. Maybe you're somebody I could ask a question of. So just talk, you see how they're talking about things that are going on in their world, and they do it in a way that's not salesy, that's not just pointing at themselves like, hey, hey, look at me. And you start to see those examples. I'd say sitting in the shadows and watching people like that is a really good first step. And then when you're comfortable, start posting a couple of things. You know, you can put yourself out there and see if some people maybe follow you back. And then the third thing I would say is make sure that you start commenting on other people's posts. Get engaged. You know, you don't have to come up with the content the first time around. You can comment on what someone else has done. And they start to see you because you're speaking up on their posts, and it starts an engagement.
You know, I feel like I'm constantly pruning my Twitter feed. It's because it seems to expand exponentially, you know, sort of like Tribbles on that old Star Trek episode. It just expand all the time. And there a lot of times folks that we really don't have a connection to. So the other comment that I get from attorneys around this topic is, I don't have the time to spend paying attention to all these media platforms and posting and caring feeding of my feed. So, Aaron, this is kind of in your wheelhouse, I know. What are some of your suggestions maybe then for reducing that workload and maybe automating the process to give yourself a little more advantage?
That complaint resonates with me deeply, particularly because there's a lot of studies out there that say the more time you spend on social media, the less happier you are in real life.
Yeah.
And so that's a balance because, as Megan said, you know, you start spending time there, but it can suck you in not a positive way where it stops being beneficial to your business and just starts harming the quality of life that you lead. You want to be cognizant of that when you're spending that time. But I think the best way to do it is you have to block off time in your day. I do it as a professional endeavor. I set the timer. I'm going to go do this. And I try to be as intentional as possible about it. So it is actual work. But and although that can feel very time consuming, I will tell you, as Megan said, this is something that brought me finally to wholeheartedly embrace social after years of really reluctantly engaging, is that this is where the people are. And it's far easier for me to do 30 minutes of networking and liking people's stuff and commenting on my colleagues' stuff. That is way better time investment than actually going to a networking event where I may or may not see people who are valuable or interesting to me. And, you know, when you add parking and traveling and commuting there, that's time that I just don't have. Whereas, you know, networking on the social channels for 30 minutes a night where I can do from the comfort of my own home in my pajamas, well, that is much more of an efficient use of my time. So, yeah, well, I definitely understand that.
I know you don't have this problem, Aaron, but like for somebody like me, it also prevents me from wandering around that hors d'oeuvre tray for, you know, an hour
working at a bathroom. Right, eating unhealthy food, making unhealthy decisions. That's right.
All the negativity that involves.
Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit callruby.com/lawentrepreneur.
So for both of you, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about, you know, the third rail, so to speak, of social media, and that is the ethical considerations and how you can get in trouble and what you should do to avoid that third rail. So I'll throw it open to you to start with, Megan. What are the big concerns that we should have and should be paying attention to with respect to ethical considerations? How do we avoid, you know, a problem?
Well, the number one concern that I always have with lawyers getting on social is our duty of confidentiality to our clients. And it's important to realize that this isn't just, am I sharing privileged information? Like, this isn't a big analysis. Okay, you shouldn't be talking about your clients on social media, period. Like, just make it broad. realize that information that you get from the representation of a client is confidential. It doesn't matter if they talked about it publicly. You're not supposed to. And so that's the best box to draw around your social media presence to stay out of ethical hot water. Now, there are things you can do, right? You can talk to your client. Are you okay with it? If I post this, there's, you know, informed consent you can get from them. But before you even let your mind wander into the complexities, just stick to, I'm not going to talk about my clients on social media. Now, that doesn't mean you can't share a big win, right? I won a great victory in court today. This feels so great. That doesn't violate anything. I'm not saying you can't ever talk about your work, but you shouldn't be sharing stories. And I go back always to the idea of having coffee with a colleague or being at a cocktail party full of lawyers, most of whom are probably inebriated. And we talk about clients, right? It happens every day. Oh, you wouldn't believe what happened to me at work today. This client called and blah, blah, and you start talking. We shouldn't be doing that at a coffee shop or a cocktail party. But it's been happening for generations. We're used to it. We see it all the time. But it's all violating the rules, okay? But we don't really see a big consequence from it. Sorry, because that's become ingrained in our lawyer culture, it sometimes bleeds onto social media, where you're no longer talking to one colleague at Starbucks. You are now talking to the 3,000 people following you on Twitter. And so if you just keep in mind that this is just not an arena I'm going to venture into, I'm not going to talk about my clients, 90% of your social media ethical violations would be avoided.
Yeah, I hear attorneys say, well, look, if I take all the names and the particulars out and I just talk about it in general terms, you know, the particular issue that was that was important or that was, you know, resonated with me in particular, well, then I'm not violating anything. And I suggest that if the public can also go online and look at your cases that you're representing in court, as an example, doesn't take mm-hmm. a rocket science to put two and two together and start to understand who you're talking about.
Exactly. And so just don't do it.
Just because you haven't explicitly violated that rule of confidentiality, implicitly you've provided all the resources for that violation to manifest itself.
Exactly. And the thing that I like to remind people of is when you post something like that, you know, that, hey, I was in court today and this is what happened, or, oh, my client called, I couldn't believe this happened. Not only is that potentially a violation, it doesn't benefit you in any way. Nobody thinks, oh, great, I'm going to go hire the lawyer who talks about his cases on Twitter. Right? You don't want that. And so you're not attracting clients by acting that way. Other lawyers aren't impressed that you're doing it. So you're not benefiting in any way. And you're potentially doing yourself a great disservice, both business-wise and in terms of, you know, potentially having bar issues.
Yeah. Yeah. Aaron, do you have any thoughts on the issue?
Just to dovetail, it's really important that lawyers understand that we've been violating the rules for years. This is a debate I got into with Sam Glover a couple of years ago, where he said, Aaron, you know, lawyers should just be able to, it's the same content they're just bringing in on social. I'm not sure why lawyers are so worried. And the reason he wasn't sure is because he's not sitting in those jury boxes hearing what those other lawyers are talking about, because we are blindly violating the rules and there haven't been any consequences because all of that conduct has been peer-to-peer. But now, for the first time, we all of a sudden are bringing that content online. And it's a huge issue because, you know, one of the most important things, I've been talking about this since 2012 to lawyers, and it's so funny, the biggest takeaway that they get when they leave the room is confidentiality. And it's just something that we never talk about in our practice once we take the NPRE. And it's one of the biggest areas that we run into trouble. And quite honestly, it's funny that that's where lawyers are getting into trouble, because they violate the rules and they don't do it strategically in a way that really is good marketing. So I think that that's the twofold. Confidentiality, we want to watch out for. We also want to watch out for the public record exception, which is an urban myth in most states. Most states' rules don't have a public record exception. Virginia actually has one. Horace Hunter took that challenge, and the First Amendment does usually trump it. But you got to wait state by state for these other states to catch up. But if you're in conversations with lawyers, what you hear lawyers say is, I can discuss it because it's part of the public record. Whereas in most states, the rules make no such exception.
Yeah. You know, so, the other thing that I see, or that I like to caution the folks of, and it comes from personal experience. I'm one of the biggest violators, or have been in the past, so I freely admit this, is be careful of what photos you post. You know, I'm a social animal, and I'm in a lot of social settings that sometimes don't reflect in the most positive light for some people. And so if you're using photos of your personal life, what you're doing and how you're conducting yourself, and that's making its way onto the social platforms that you are engaging your client base or other colleagues on, you have to be aware of those consequences.
Yeah, just think about that recent post about the raccoon jumping off of the boat. I don't know if you saw that go by. There was a video, and a lawyer in Florida posted a video of, they found a raccoon on the boat once they were, you know, pretty far from shore, that had stowed away. And then they shooed the raccoon off the boat, leaving the raccoon to presumably to
drown.
And they posted that to social media, not really thinking about the experience from their perspective, right? Because we all engage with social media thinking that we have a set of rules, right? Social mores that we follow and subscribe to. And we sort of assume that the rest of the world subscribes to those, but we all come with our own rules and ideas of what's good and what's bad. And so that really backfired in a way that maybe some thoughtful contemplation before posting that wouldn't have had that kind of feedback that it got. And so I think that's a really great example of why you do, because the personal and professional channels blend, we all need to be very conscientious and play by rules that perhaps we didn't think we had to play by, especially when we were on our personal, you know, social channels that our quirky sense of humor or approach or attitudes in life would be universally accepted. And they're just simply not. So we do want to be careful about what we post. And if you're looking for content and you're not sure about photos, I always love to encourage lawyers to use Unsplash.com, which is just brilliant, beautiful photography. There's a huge resource. You can use it. You have the license permission to use it. And it's just a great place to get some stock photography to make your feeds look more interesting, because you do want to have photos. On any social post, anytime you're taking the time to post anything, make sure there's an image. Because if there's not an image or a video, you're not going to get much engagement. But that's a great place, fallback position, to get appropriate images that are not likely to be controversial.
We're starting to run out of time here, ladies, but let's just, in a minute or so, talk about some of the force multiplier tools that people might want to take advantage of. Things like Meet Edgar or Hootsuite or something along those lines. Do either of you take advantage of those tools, or are you familiar with them?
Yeah, we use Buffer in my office so that when I put out a lot of content, I have a podcast and articles and a blog and just a lot of things that we create, videos, and to individually post to every platform would be really cumbersome. So we use Buffer to do that. And basically what it allows you to do is disseminate your content across multiple platforms and to schedule it so that things are going out, you know, at good times. You can kind of do some research as to like when is your audience engaged and get the content out at those times. It also seriously cuts down on how much time you're spending feeding those social profiles. So it doesn't replace getting in there and personally engaging, which is an important element, but it gets your content out there on a scheduled basis.
On a bulk level, it works, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's good. And Buffer is going to be the best tool that plays really nicely with Instagram. So that, in my experience, is just the win. If you're on Instagram, I would definitely take a close look at the tools that play well with that.
Well, listen, we could spend another hour talking about some of these tools and platforms and usage scenarios, but we're up against the clock here. So, ladies, why don't you share with our audience where they can reach you if they want to do so and follow up on anything we've said today?
Well, I live mostly on Twitter, where my handle is @XavierLaw, and my website is XavierLaw.com.
Okay, we will have that in the show notes. How about you, Erin?
Yeah, you can find me on almost any social channel at EHG Law Firm.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay, so we will include all of that in the show notes, and I want to thank both of you for participating today on The Law Entrepreneur, and I look forward to having you back again at a later date.
Sounds great. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Neil.
Well, that will do it for today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I'd like to thank our sponsors for making this show possible, the good folks at Call Ruby Receptionists, Spotlight Branding, Market Circle, the makers of Daylight, and our newest sponsor, Jurisdiction, the providers of the Next Level Law Practice Program. So take a moment to visit our show notes and hop on over to their websites for special discounts and savings and other free stuff that you can get, and just support them because they make this podcast possible day in and day out. Also, if you got a couple minutes, pop on over to our own website, thelawentrepreneur.com. We have a couple little articles there. You can also listen to the podcast itself there if you choose to. And sign up for our newsletter or our mailing list. And we don't do a lot. You know, you're not going to bombard you with emails every week. And I do plan on doing a few more this year, but we'd love to have you join our community. And in that sense, you can also go on to our Facebook page. You can find us just by searching on The Law Entrepreneur. You can find out what we got going on a daily basis, sometimes hourly, on the Facebook page. So I'd love to have you join us there. And if you have the time, last but not least, go on over to iTunes, search on The Law Entrepreneur. And if it's something that you believe in and feel strongly about, we'd love for you to leave an honest 5-star review, as well as comments about what you like and dislike about the show, because it does mean a lot to us that you are our community, our listeners, and I want to thank you for making this all possible. So we'll see you next time on The Law Entrepreneur.